Hi, my name is Anton Meiberg and I'm married to Christelle. Together we have 5 children. And I've joined Shofar in 1992 in the beginning and sort of saw Shofar grow through all of its different phases up to now. And Christelle and I have been pastoring 3 different churches in Franschhoek, Potchefstroom, Standerton, and we now are currently in Stellenbosch. And my current job description is that I serve on the apostolic team and then also serve on the African cabinet of Empower 21. And so today I'm going to be sharing with you more about prophetic intercession and spiritual warfare. Hi, in this first session we're going to be speaking about prophetic intercession on a personal basis. And firstly we're going to focus on how do we pray for the lost. Many people pray on a personal basis and they pray for all kinds of things, but I firstly want to focus on how do we pray for the lost. And firstly, my suggestion is that you pray according to the soil types in the parable of the sower. And so we can read in Matthew 13 verse 3, it says, "And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And then a little bit later in verse 19, Jesus carries on and he describes or interprets this parable, and then he says to them, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30-fold. So we can see that there's basically the 4 soil types, and so in our prayers, we can pray according to these 4 types. Firstly, some seed falls on the path or by the wayside, which means it's hard ground. And oftentimes when you're praying for somebody, that person might have a hardened heart. They've hardened their heart towards the gospel, towards God, or even just to you, or as a person who's trying to share to them. And so it says that when people have hardened their hearts, they oftentimes lack understanding, or they're not open to actually receive the word. And so when you pray for somebody like that, you can pray that God would soften their hearts. And if God could do it with Pharaoh, where he hardened his heart, softened his heart, so God can soften any heart. And it is wonderful if you can start by simply just praying for God to prepare that person's heart, even before you start to share with that person. Secondly, there are some seed that fall on the stony ground or the shallow ground, which means the seed is not able to grow deep roots or to penetrate the soil properly. And that refers to those who are under pressure from persecution or peer pressure. And so they receive the word quickly, but peer pressure and persecution and fearfulness is what stops them from really pursuing God in a proper way or to continue until the end. So I want to encourage you to pray for them that indeed they will be able to stand strong against peer pressure or whatever kind of persecution they might be afraid of, that they may have courage. And then thirdly, and this is the one I really want to focus on, and that is the weeds that Satan sometimes sow, that is sins and distractions and bondages that people are in. And if you know that somebody is into drug addiction or alcohol, or somebody is sexually distracted or enticed by people or sort of cannot resist ladies, then you would discern certain patterns in a person's life, and you can pray accordingly and say, Lord, I pray that you would give this person a distaste for cigarettes, or that they would see the destruction of the evil that they are facing or that they are bringing upon others through their actions. And you can pray that their eyes be opened and that they would really want to desire for themselves to break out from this. And the scripture says we must hate evil, but before people can hate evil, they must see evil for what evil is. And you can focus your prayers around that. And then fourthly, Jesus speaks about the fact that there's good soil, and I don't want to go too much into that, but basically we want to prepare people's hearts so that they can become good soil and that their hearts can become receptive. So whatever you may be discerning as blocking somebody from receiving the gospel, whatever resistance there may be, as you pray and prophetically, God will give you direction. You may receive words of knowledge. And if you don't, ask God. Say, Lord, I don't know what is keeping this person from the gospel. Lord, show me. And the Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray for that person more effectively. And then you address those things. You speak to it and you say, Spirit of witchcraft, be gone in Jesus' name. I bind your powers. I break your power over this person. You shall not stop this person from receiving the word of the Lord, or whatever other thing it is that you may discern that will stand between them and receiving the gospel. Then secondly, after you've prayed in this manner, you can also pray for the veils to be removed. Now, scripture tells us that there are veils that actually cover people's eyes so that they cannot see spiritually, but even literally cannot see things for what they really are. So 2 Corinthians 3 verse 14 speaks of this and says, but their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ it is taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. It speaks of the veil that was over people's eyes in the Old Testament. Sometimes it speaks of the Old Covenant. And whenever Moses or the Old Testament is read, that people would literally just block their minds and block their hearts, and they are unreceptive because they cannot see the truth of it. And so oftentimes you will find people opening up the Bible, and they would start reading and fall asleep after 5 minutes because they cannot see the life in it. They do not see the life in the message because of this veil. And when you pray, you can actually pray and ask God to lift the veil from their eyes. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 17. Then Elisha prayed and said, Oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, if I can just sort of color in this picture for you, the servant Gehazi and Elisha were surrounded by the enemy's camp, and Gehazi was really stressed out and said, Master, Master, look, we are surrounded. How are we going to survive this? We're going to die today. And Elisha was really not moved, and he was sort of stirring the pot and just making his food on the fire. And then Gehazi went on stressing about this and said, Master, Master, but don't you see what is happening? And again, Elisha was just carrying on with his normal things. And eventually he got irritated and he said, Ah, Lord, please just open his eyes that he may see. And all of a sudden, Gehazi's eyes was opened. Then he saw, Master, Master, look, there's angels all around us, more than the enemy, and they've got chariots of fire. And so it was with this that Elisha sort of sighed with relief, saying, Ah, oh, thank you, now he sees. Now at least his eyes is opened. And we see this principle of eyes being opened even in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, we read how the Apostle Paul writes, and he speaks about the prayer that he has for the people in Ephesus. And he says, having eyes, the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Now you may go and read the rest of that scripture, but it speaks basically of the eyes of your understanding, of the eyes of your heart being enlightened. And so in this sense, you can pray for people that their eyes will be opened, that the eyes of their understanding or the eyes of their heart will become open to spiritual things. And God can do that as you pray for that deliberately and purposefully. Thirdly, you can pray for people's ears to be opened. In the Old Testament, it speaks in Jeremiah 5, verse 21, of ears that is not hearing. It says, "Hear this, O foolish and senseless people who have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not." So in other words, people have the ability to see and hear, but yet they don't. So firstly, on the previous point, you were going to pray for people that their eyes would be open, but now you need to pray for their ears to be open so that people can hear. And another scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we need to pray for ears to be open so that when the message comes, that people will be receptive, that they will want to hear, and that they will be attentive. But the ears and the eyes will need to lead to the heart. And that is how you need to focus your prayers when praying for unbelievers. So, next thing, I want you to also pray for clear minds and receptive hearts, that the mind will be open and the hearts will be opened. And ask God also for yourself for a heart for the lost. Now, when I was about 16 years old, I was praying for my friends who were not born again, in a sort of a caravan that I stayed in the backyard of our house. I wanted some privacy. And I was praying there for about 3 hours, just crying before the Lord, crying very loudly and weeping and sobbing before the Lord for my friends. And my whole face was red, and I actually didn't have tissues or anything. So I was praying, you know, with my nose just running. And eventually I sort of had to catch everything here with my hand. And then all of a sudden, after 3 hours, my father opened the caravan door coming in, because he was wondering where I was. And yeah, he saw me with my hands full of the stuff running from my nose and just my whole face red. And he was shocked, and he was thinking, what was wrong with his son? You know, there must be something incredibly wrong here. And he was really panicked and said, "But Anton, what's going on? What's wrong with you? You know, why do you look like this?" And I said to him, "No, Dad, nothing is wrong with me. I'm just crying because my friends are going to hell, and I'm praying for them, and I'm asking God to save them." And I'll never forget the look on my father's face, and how he stood there speechless and looked at me, and then he said, "Okay, Anton, I'll see you later in the house." And that day, my father's life was changed. From that moment onwards, he started evangelizing, he started ministering, he dedicated his business to the Lord, and he said that from that moment onwards, his purpose in life was to lead others to Christ, simply because he saw the fact that I had a heart for the lost. And if you don't have a heart for the lost, just ask the Lord. Speak to him and say, "Lord, I don't have your heart. I don't see people as you see people." And he will reveal to you his love for people. Because in the end, it is love for people that would cause you to overcome fear, to overcome stress, to overcome whatever it is that's hindering you from praying for the lost, from reaching out to the lost. Ask the Lord and he will give you his heart. And after that, I want to encourage you that to not only pray, but also to act. For me, it's very important that you understand from the word go that prayer and action goes together. Faith and works. Faith without works is dead, and prayer without action is also dead. It's like an athlete trying to run on one leg. First, he runs on the left leg, and he is not running very fast. He's running, he's moving, but not very fast. Then he runs on the other leg, or jumps to the other leg rather, and also not running very fast. And then when the athlete starts to use two legs, he's not running twice as fast, but 10 times as fast. And so if you pray, but there's no action, your works is not going to go very far, and your prayers will actually not be as effective. On the other hand, if you only act and you never pray, and you don't pray for the soil to be prepared, and you don't stand against the demonic forces that is binding the people or the community that you want to reach out to, then your actions is not going to have much fruit either. If I can give you just one example of a time when I was at high school, and my friend and I were praying for three of our other friends who were not believers, and we prayed for them by name, those three of them, and as I've just shared with you a little bit earlier, according to the soil types and etc. So after we prayed, I said amen, and I stood up and I went to the first guy's room, and the first miracle was that he was alone in his room and his roommate wasn't there. So I said to him, "Listen, I've come to speak to you about Jesus." And he said, "Oh, okay, well, come in, you know, how could you resist sort of such an upfront conversation. I started talking to him about Jesus. And about 3 minutes later, the second guy who we prayed for, who stays on the other side of the hostel, came into the room. I said, come, sit down. I prayed for you too. Come, let me tell you about Jesus. And 2 minutes later, the third guy who lives again on the other side of the hostel also walked into the room. And I said to him, welcome, come inside. I've prayed for you too. I've just prayed for all three of you. And now I'm going to tell you about Jesus and the fact that Jesus wants you to come to him, to repent of your sins, put your faith in him, and make an everlasting covenant with him. And that day, all three of them committed their lives to Christ. Now, what would have happened if I didn't go to them? Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray, not knowing that our prayers have already been answered. We simply just have to go and share with them. We need to become the answers to our own prayers. So when you pray, act. And when you act, or before you act, pray. Do it all together. Then I want to move on to something else. When you pray, pray with authority and faith. I think most of us know what a Rottweiler looks like, but if you're in a country that doesn't know the Rottweiler, it's a very big black dog. It's one of the most vicious dogs that you might see on the face of the earth. Now I want you to imagine right there where you're sitting, suddenly there's this big Rottweiler coming towards you, and he's snarling and growling at you, and there's sort of saliva dripping from his mouth, and his teeth is there, and he's growling at you, and he's about to storm you. How would you react to that Rottweiler? Now, here's what's not going to work. If you say to him, shoo, shoo, footsteck, get out of here, and you pitch this high voice, and there's fear in your voice, and there's uncertainty in your voice, come on, go now, lap aside, we're not, go away. That won't be very effective. But if you say to him, footsteck, get out, there's the door, get out. There's a certain way that dogs read us. They can see when you're afraid. They can see when you have authority. And so the same with demonic powers. We see the story where some people tried to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, the one who Paul speaks about. And they said, Paul, we know, and Peter and Jesus, we know, but who are you? They didn't have the faith themselves. They didn't have that authority themselves. And so when you pray, don't be apologetic, especially not when you're addressing demons or when you speak against powers of darkness. Speak with authority. Jesus said, or it is said of Jesus, that when he spoke as one having authority. And so likewise, we need to speak with that great authority that he has given to us. In Luke 10 verse 19, he says to us, behold, I give you authority to trample on scorpions and snakes and over all the power of Satan, and nothing shall by any means harm you. In another scripture, in Matthew 17 verse 20, it says, he said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So together with the authority that you speak with and pray with, you also need to pray with faith. Mark chapter 11 verse 24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. In other words, when you speak, don't speak as if this is some kind of a negotiation when you are speaking things into being or praying for certain things. And when you speak unto the Father or pray unto the Father, asking for things, ask like a child who knows that he is going to receive something from God. That confidence with which we speak, as if it is already done. When a child, I've got 5 children, when my children ask me for something, especially the little ones, they ask with great boldness and courage, knowing that whatever they ask, they will receive. When they get older and they start to take chances, then sometimes, yes, I do deny them their request, and then they start to change their tactics. But the little ones, the ones whom Jesus commands us to pray as children, having faith like them, means that we pray with the absolute belief that God will do everything and anything that we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and especially where 2 or more are in agreement. Now, thirdly, I want to speak about speaking things into being. So, Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 3 reads as follows. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. So the prophetic action that he was led to do was, in a sense, figuratively. It wasn't really bones that had life that came to them, but it was in response to Israel saying, we are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off. And there was this hopelessness as if they were dead. And he said to them, speak to them, prophesy over them, speak life into them, call these bones to life, speak this, call the sinews in, call to the breath and command the breath to come into these people. So sometimes God will call you to speak into situations, to speak into people, even whole communities. And it will say to you, prophesy, speak into, command these things into being as if it will really happen. In fact, you will see it will happen. When you do that, it's again, it's not requesting or having this sort of soft kind of approach. It's actually an approach where you're saying, speaking with authority, and you are commanding things into being because you've been given an authority to speak life. Our believers, I want to tell you that we have not really come to an understanding of the power of our words. Scripture speaks about the power of the tongue and the power of our words, but I want to tell you, go and study this concept of the power of your words. And you will see that when you speak life, when you prophesy, you will see mighty things come as you speak them into being. Perhaps I can give you one example of evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, who addressed the weather while he was having a crusade, an open-air meeting, and he spoke to the wind and said, rain, you shall not fall upon these people. You shall rain all around and on the lands and on the farms, but on us you shall not fall. And it literally happened like that, that all where the people were, no rain fell. And those who sat on the edges could stick their hand into the rain and take it out and into the rain and out of the rain. And God did a mighty miracle there. And so we can have many examples even in Scripture. As Jesus spoke to the natural elements, you can change your world through the power of your voice in the name of Jesus. Then next, I want to encourage you to pray until the burden lifts. In other words, God will lay a burden on your heart. He will give you an impression that is, or an unction that is on your heart to pray for someone or for something. And you need to pray until that burden lifts. Sometimes it happens, or I can almost say most of the time, it also happens when I pray for people who come forward to the front of the church, or people respond to an altar call and I pray for them for specific things. Then there comes a point in time where I suddenly hear the Holy Spirit say to me, it is done, it is finished. So either when the burden or the unction lifts, or when the Holy Spirit says to you, it is done. Yes, indeed, we need to keep on praying, but we must also pray with faith to know that there's a time when we have prayed, God has heard, and now it is done, and we accept the fact that God has now answered our prayers. And then finally, I want to speak about what we call travail. That is sort of the most intensive prayer that we have. And that is when you sometimes physically or emotionally feel the burden or the pain of someone that you are praying for. Maybe somebody's got a stomach cramp or stomach cancer, and you feel a pain in your stomach, and you pray and you pray and you pray for that person until suddenly that pain is gone. Or somebody is going through very deep burdens, and you pray for them, and it's like you feel almost like someone that's giving birth. Now, men might not be able to relate to this. I've stood next to my wife 5 times as she gave birth, so I've at least seen it, what it looks like, what the cries are like, what that pain is like, what that agony is like. And this is sort of the deepest, most painful experience that you can go through as an intercessor, as someone standing in the gap for someone else, as you take their burden upon yourselves and you pray through until that is gone. Now, I would like to encourage you to trust God that sometimes He may even lead you into this deep form of intercession. Now, I would like you also to turn to each other 2 by 2. And I'd like for you to take the principles I've just shared with you and pray for people, let's say 5 people each, that are not born again, that you know need Jesus. Firstly, start by asking God to give you a heart for the lost, to give you a heart for those people on your list. And then I want you to pray for them effectively and fervently until the burden lifts. Amen.